From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called Paul Arrives at Rome, part of this series of studies in the book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Job chapter 40 and verse 4. Behold, I am vile. One cheering word, poor lost sinner, for thee. You think you must not come to God because you are vile. Now there is not a saint living on earth, but has been made to feel that he is vile. If Job and Isaiah and Paul were all obliged to say, I am vile, oh, poor sinner, wilt thou be ashamed to join in the same confession? If divine grace does not eradicate all sin from the believer, how dost thou hope to do it thyself? And if God loves his people while they are yet vile, dost thou think thy vileness will prevent his loving thee? Believe on Jesus, thou outcast of the world's society. Jesus calls thee, and such as thou art, not the righteous, not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to call. Even now say, Thou hast died for sinners. I am a sinner, Lord Jesus. Sprinkle thy blood on me. If thou wilt confess thy sin, thou shalt find pardon. If now with all thy heart thou wilt say, I am vile, wash me, thou shalt be washed now. If the Holy Spirit shall enable thee from thy heart to cry, Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Thou shalt rise from listening to this morning's portion with all thy sins pardoned. And though thou didst wake this morning with every sin that man hath ever committed on thy head, thou shalt rest tonight, accepted in the Beloved. Though once degraded with the rags of sin, thou shalt be adorned with a robe of righteousness, and appear white as the angels are. For now, mark it, now is the accepted time. If thou believest on him who justifieth the ungodly, thou art saved. Oh, may the Holy Spirit give thee saving faith in him who receives the vilest.
Death of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? Whence to me this grace of wrong, at my advocate above? See the call.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Having at last arrived in Rome, Paul wasted no time setting out to evangelize for Christ. As was his custom, he preached first to the Jews, showing that he held no bitterness toward those who had sought to kill him. Their rejection of the gospel signaled the closing of the door to them and the opening of the door to the Gentiles. As Dr. Cairns will note, all during this time, Paul was under house arrest, but he never let that hinder his efforts to reach souls with the gospel. Now to conclude this message called Paul Arrives at Rome, here is Dr. Cairns.
If any man had cause to hate the Jews and despise his own people, it was Paul. It was because of the Jews and their lies and their threats and their murderous cliques that Paul was in this position. And yet the very first people he tried to win for Christ were the Jews. It's very easy to love those that the flesh is prompted to accept. But there are people who have been bitter toward you. There are people who have been the tools of the devil toward you. It's very easy just to consign them to hell. But that's never the Lord's way. So Paul immediately went after the Jews and brought them in, told them how he came to be there, and then started testifying to them and expounding of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Do you notice he's still at the same preaching? Notice he hasn't changed his theme. He's still preaching Jesus. Whether to Jew or to Gentile, we preach Christ. No other message. And so he comes to the Jews and he persuades them of Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets, from morning until the evening. Now, here is the whole significance of Paul's journey to Rome. When you read the learned commentaries in Acts, you'll find that some of the greatest scholars who have ever looked at this book have been puzzled by this thing. I mentioned it last week, but think of it again. You go right through this book and you'll find that it's a very terse history. Great events are compressed into short passages of Scripture. Indeed, the day of Pentecost itself gets just a few verses. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost is conveyed in one or two verses. And yet here in the 27th chapter of Acts and into the 28th chapter, you have every detail of Paul's journey. And the scholars say, why? There's not a message here of doctrine, not a word of the cross or the resurrection or the blood or redemption. What's the significance? Here it is. This is what I meant when I said this is one of those events that changes the history of the world. Right through the book of Acts, you have the progressive story of the rejection of Christ by the Jews and the passing of the gospel to the Gentiles. And I believe this story is told us in 27 and 28 of Acts in such detail that we may never forget it. This is how it came about. And here we reach the climax. The Jews close their hearts. And Paul says the gospel, and I believe this is now irrevocably the case until the Lord will come. He says the gospel is going to the Gentiles. And there's a text here I'm going to come back to later in the month. I want you to notice it. I must confess I had overlooked it before. There's a prophecy. They will receive it. Wonderful text. They will receive it. Now that's what's happening. It's a solemn passage because it records for us something that is called the judicial blinding of the Jews. Let me explain that. God sent Paul to them. There was the gospel preached to them, but their eyes were closed. Their ears were closed and their hearts were closed. And God did not open them. There's the sovereignty of God for you. God did not open them. Lest, this is what I mean by judicial blinding. God gave them up to blindness. They wanted blindness, so he said, have your blindness. They wanted to be deaf to the gospel, so God says, be deaf to the gospel. God gave them up to this, lest hearing they should hear, lest seeing they should see, and that they should understand with their heart, lest they should be converted. Strong language. Language that far surpasses the comprehension of man. But God says, here's a people, and they have waxen gross. They have wanted deafness and blindness and ungodliness. They have made a compact with sin and Satan and death and hell. And they think they're beyond the judgment of God. And he says, they who have so sought these things will have them. And I give them up to their blindness, lest they should ever be saved. So God says, my friend, I want you to realize this. It's a solemn thing to hear the gospel. It's a solemn thing to have the privileges of an open Bible. It's a tragedy for a man to look for blindness so that he doesn't want to see his need of Christ. He doesn't want to see the atoning virtue of the blood. He doesn't want to hear the invitation. He doesn't want to receive that invitation. It's a solemn thing. Because the God who judicially blinded his people, by that I mean the nation of Israel, can do the same to any sinner. My friend, if God leaves you to what you want, you can't complain. But you'll perish for it for all eternity. And will you notice something else? I remarked the healing of the heathen, the miracles that were done among the heathen. To convince the heathen, God did miracles. But you will notice when Paul came to the Jews, there's not a hint of a miracle. He comes to Rome now, and he opens the Bible, and he starts expounding the scriptures, but he does not give them a sign. Now, of course, that's the very thing that the Jews wanted. They wanted a sign. But God says there'd be no further sign given to this sinful and adulterous generation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the last sign that God would give to those people. I believe, of course, that there's the very practical thought. The heathen had no scripture. The heathen probably couldn't have read the scripture if they had had it, for the most part anyway. And God gave them the signs in his mercy. But the Jews had the scriptures. And I'm going to make this statement to you on the authority of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. The man who will not believe that Bible would not believe even if God were to do the biggest miracle imaginable right under his nose. If you will not believe that Bible, then my friend, you would not believe. Jesus said, though one rose from the dead. And all this hunting after miraculous signs, oh, it's so prevalent today. All this basing of faith in signs. I tell you, a faith that is not based in Scripture is not a faith at all. It's a counterfeit and it will lead you to perish. When you have the Scripture, what else can you want? What else can you want? I can do as Paul did if you wish. From morning till evening we can go through this book. You will find that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a tragedy that you who have the Scripture, and who, like these Jews, in some cases, believed. The word believed is not the usual word associated with faith. It means they were persuaded. They were convinced. Rationally, they were carried along by the argument. They had no answer to it. Ah, am I not talking to some person just like that today? Your mind has no possible argument against it. You've got to bow to it and say, yes, it's true, but, like the Jews, verse 29, you never get beyond talking about it. You never get beyond reasoning about it. It never leads you to receive Jesus Christ. What a tragedy when you have the scriptures of truth and you know that Jesus is the Christ and you reject him to the damnation of your soul. We finish very quickly just by pointing out two very pertinent lessons for us in all this. One for Christians and one for God's or for the unsaved. First of all, to God's people, let me say this. No one knew better than the Apostle Paul that the Jews were judicially blinded. If you read his epistle to the Romans, which he had written some years before, you'll find that in chapter 11 he speaks of this very clearly. So nobody knew better than Paul the predestinating purpose of God for the Jewish nation. And yet when he came to Rome, the first people he sought to save were the Jews. You see, Paul did not make God's predestinating purpose an excuse for laziness and for not seeking their souls. Rather, he made it, if you look at Romans 9, the cause of his evangelistic endeavors. For he says, God has a remnant according to the election of grace. I don't know who they are. Spurgeon once said, if you can put an X in the back of God's elect, I'll not preach to anybody else, but if you can't do it, I'll just keep preaching to everybody. That's the attitude that Paul has. God has a people, and I'm going to bend my energies to see that people reached and saved. I don't believe in this kind of Calvinism that says that God is sovereign, predestination and election are facts, therefore we don't need to do anything about the conversion of the world. Therefore, we simply need to sit back and say, God is on the throne and his purpose will be worked out. Let's not do a thing. That is not Calvinism. That is not New Testament Christianity. That is downright ungodly rationalism. Let's name it for what it is. True Calvinism. True Paulinism, for that's what has been nicknamed Calvinism. True New Testament Christianity says, yes, God is on the throne. Yes, God has a predestinating purpose. Therefore, I can labor in the assurance of success. Romans 9, speaking of these very judicially blinded people, Paul said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for their sake. You will see that the doctrine of God's sovereignty is no barrier to a passion for souls. God give us Paul's passion. Then to the unsaved, there's this lesson. I've mentioned it before and I leave it with you in closing. The awful consequences of hardening the heart and of rejecting Christ. You harden your heart and God will leave it to be hard. We read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What does God need to do to harden your heart? All he needs to do is withdraw every motion of his grace. Withdraw every influence of his spirit. Just leave you to yourself. Let God leave any sinner to himself. And that sinner will perish in hell without mistake. What a tragedy. When the very word of life becomes only an instrument to your soul's damnation. And that's exactly what happens when men harden the heart and God gives them up to their hardness. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In God's name, as you love your soul, make sure today that you're not found among these hard-hearted, Christ-rejecting Jews. But even like those poor heathen, you'll be found healed by the matchless grace of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Let's all pray.
Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it indelibly in every heart. Lord, set thy people on fire for God. Oh, let the power of the Holy Ghost fill us and thrill us. And Lord, remember those who are not saved. Oh, that God would have mercy upon them. Oh, today, Lord, that thou wouldst save them by thy grace, ere it is forever too late. Hear us now, our God and our Father, we pray. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear, the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both today and until the Savior either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.